B-Pod Studios.
Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports. You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's esoteric. Let's start with the ugly guy first. First up, Tony Mazz. You look better in a goldie mask. I'm glad I hear you and I see you with your homely ass. You a Yankees fan, man, that disturbs me. Your words are worth less than a Zolak jersey.
I'm right there with you.
Sup, Zo? I guess you kind of went pro. You got a show because every game in the 90s you had front row. And Mark Bertrand Beadle, I saw it firsthand. Donuts, he all about looking like a Spurs fan. Wallach, he ain't smart. Reading stats on flap tops. Looking like an eagle, he could be the BC mascot. Cut the mic on Michael Felger, Brighton Ernie. Kid. I'm a son of kind of like Michael Hurley did. Your hot takes are kind of cold instead. Jimmy Hayes had you shaking in your Nantucket Reds. Is it Big Jim Murray or Bald Jim Murray? Hat always on his dome. He's unknown like Adam Jones. Piece of TNR. I'ma let him slide because I got nothing written. Just kidding. Oh, Rich, you get Fred out the way because today I got to use my rap AK and spray. Rich certainly, but geek needing confidence. Always on Twitter, man, retweeting compliments. Yeah, I heard about about your league leading dominance. But when I'm in the car, man, it doesn't reach Providence. I know you do your best to entertain, but get a brain. You're as funny as Kevin James, Rich. And Freddie T, I don't got a lot for you. Except maybe that your wife is too hot for you. The way that you be dressing, man, that is what not to do. Looking like a dingbat, sounding like a pig cat. I'm saying that. Everybody plays the fool. That's appropriate for Fred at the JCC pool. Ooh. Catch him on Comcast, looking half homeless. A legend in his own mind, like Johnny Gomes is.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It's like that Maz is the ugly one. That's a backhanded salute to me. Because it's getting to the point where I believe that I'm like the ugly one at the station. It's been a big dose of reality to me as I get my back waxed on. Everyone just likes to see see me embarrassing myself.
He's the most open, Fred. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The price you pay.
That's right. That's right.
I didn't expect you to play that. Never been in a room with somebody I was dissing, listening to it on playback.
Oh, you got face to face with people in rap battles.
No, of course.
So
I guess you're right.
So you're kind of good at this. You're kind of being false humble, I think, right now. Esoteric in studio, and all right. So your new album, Gav, is with Ghostface from Wu-Tang. We were talking about this before. So when you were with MF Doom. Like that was a different situation than what you just did with Ghostface, as far as like being able to actually see each other while making the album.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
definitely. So you know, Inspector Deck, who you know is obviously my rhyme partner in Czarface, coordinated it with Ghostface because you know once we did Czarface meets Metalface, which is Doom's alias, it only made sense to make a Czarface meets Ghostface.
Okay.
You know, and now people are saying, are you going to do a Czarface meets Babyface and things like that?
Okay. So there's a whole documentary about how difficult it is to wrangle up the Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, this is when ODB was alive, too. Yep. And he was that the Brooklyn Zoo thing where they couldn't figure out what he was doing. But so wrangling him up is been proven to be difficult. So you've had this partnership with Inspector Deck. So when you go to get Ghostface involved in this project, how many hoops do you have to jump through, or was it easier than I'm thinking?
You know, I think it was fairly easy because Deck is the ambassador. You know, makes everything a lot easier, and you know they're very tight, and you know me and Deck are tight, so I was able to kind of build on a relationship with Ghost too, and I was sending Ghostface beats. You know, years ago. So, you know, he was familiar with our stuff and it came together pretty easily, man, you know, and it's how we're able to kind of keep up this pace. And I think people, you know, in our industry kind of are impressed by the pace of in which we release records. But
you're fairly prolific.
Yeah, well.
You're getting about like once a year now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like everybody can do that. It's not, you know, just. strategizing it and really focusing on doing it, making it a full-time thing, you know?
Okay, so this is, I'm kind of fascinated by this now because, and I am not lumping you in with this guy, this is the most unfair Pitbull thing I'll ever say, but Pitbull, there was a special about him that showed that whenever he did kind of a, I mean, he guests on everyone's albums,
yeah,
but they'll send him something and he has like a kit that he just sets up in like in a hotel room that he's in,
oh, yeah,
and just records everything there and can send it in that way. So
it's easy when you don't have to rhyme.
It's or I'm talent. Yeah, I don't know. You can say whatever you want.
But I can say whatever I want. Oh, thank you for the permission.
Please. But how easy is it nowadays to like do a, or tough to do a compilation with a guy that now it doesn't, you know, you don't even be in the same studio, right?
Yeah, I think it's fairly easy. I think a lot of people that are talented or hacks or whatever, no one has really an excuse not to, you know, turn in a verse or put out a product because you can literally do it in a hotel room like Pitbull and be on, you know, multi-million dollar speakers and on the radio and, you know, have Pitbull success. And he could have recorded that at La Quinta Inn and you would never know the difference.
Well, Pitbull doesn't roll like that. He only stays at the finest.
You just need a mic and a laptop, you know?
All right, so if out of popular rappers of all time and even guys that didn't go platinum, but like if you had a gold record.
Yeah.
Is Pitbull the worst MC of all time?
No. No.
Of guys that had gold records?
Gold
or above?
Listen, there's a lot of rappers out now that have like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Except for mumble rap and like all that. Yeah. Of when albums were sold.
I would say lyrically...
Yes.
It's... he is... laughably bad.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
I do understand he's a very charitable person.
Of course. You don't have to say that.
I like how we have to put asterisks on this. I mean, Pitbull sucks.
Right. No, but I've seen him, you know, do charitable acts and punch people in the face.
Yes.
And, there's more
he's a very physically intimidating man.
There's more to him than the tux in the EDM that he's rapping over and taking everyone's hits and stuff like that. But I think there are a lot of garbage successful rappers, definitely. I
mean, who? Can you give it like one guy that you hear and you're like, how is this guy famous?
Oh, man. I'm not trying to be politically correct either because I can't think of anyone because I'm so focused on our stuff.
Yeah,
I
don't even listen to
right, well,
so
names at
what me. What you do is now not what is the mainstream rap.
Yeah.
Is that like lyrical gymnastics and all that stuff. Like you and Inspector Deck and even Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Like that's not the way things are done now.
Right.
Like what's popular now is just like that mumble rap, which is like, yo, you know, Xan.
Like it sounds Xan, like it's Xan. Like a lack of effort. Someone just woke him
which,
up.
Which, by the way, Xanax doesn't even get you high. I have no idea why these people are so obsessed with Xanax. It just relieves stress. But nonetheless.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, hey, let's take a bunch of Xanax. It's super fun.
I took half a Xan 13 hours to Japan or whatever Drake said. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's half a Xanax. Yeah. Well, that's a bold step.
Well, Japan? When you're our weight, I don't think it hits you. If you're Drake's weight, it might hit you harder.
Yes, exactly. I mean? Well, I would imagine it takes a lot more based on his success to get him to sleep for 13 hours. But nonetheless, is that appreciated anymore? Or are we old?
There's definitely a lane for it because, you know, but what is forced down your throat, I think, is, you know, an 18-year-old kid with the chains and a couple gun charges. And, you know, the story seems to be the controversies and the antics surrounding the music. And then the music plays catch up afterward. And I think people are fascinated by that. And they latch on to the music afterward because they're latching on to a story of controversy. Versus, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, I think we grew up on where you're kind of inspired by or intellectually stimulated by some of the, I don't know, wordplay or the prose or the storytelling.
Right.
So it's a different game. But there are people out there now that are staying true to, you know, lyricism. It's just, I don't think it's as...
It's not as appreciated anymore?
Right.
Does it frustrate you that there's kind of a formula to have a rap hit now? And that is, like, if you listen to the stuff that's on, like, you know, that breaks through on radio, it's usually... Rapper starts a song, $1 million chorus with a singer.
Yep.
Rapper sings the next part, $1 million chorus with a singer, and then the rapper sings over the bridge and it ends with $1 million chorus with a singer. Do you ever feel that pressure to have to like get a singer to sing over your stuff in order for it to be more sellable to radio?
No, because and I don't feel the pressure at all because we're comfortable with where we are with our fan base that supports and buys the physical product we put out, buys the merchandise, you know, streams it and you know, spreads the word online and the feedback that they give us is reward too, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel the obligation or the desire to make a record with with Rihanna.
Sure.
You know, I'd rather do other things with Rihanna. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, go over sabermetrics and stuff.
Of course. But that would be me. That's me. That's what I would do.
Yeah. It's not our lane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I write comic books and make hardcore hip hop. It's different.
The comic book thing, like, you guys have been extremely smart with in this day and age where streaming is taking away a lot of the money that most people would have before that, you know, when you would buy albums and things. You guys have made an effort to release, like, really special packaging for your stuff. Like, I mean, like, comic books that are inserted. Yep. Now, that's obviously a conscious effort because of what was happening with the streaming, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And if there are people that are going to pick up that packaging and pay the price to have something tangible that they can hold, it's because that's what excited me back then, going through the album credits and everything like that.
Yeah.
And writing the comics, it led to a relationship with Marvel, and I wrote a story for the X-Men that came out on Marvel, a Nightcrawler story, which was like a dream come true, you know?
We might have talked about this before, but when did that come out?
It came out over the holiday. It's pretty new.
So there's a brand new Marvel comic that you wrote?
Yeah, I wrote a story in it. I didn't write the whole story, but there's multiple stories in it. It's like an X-Men annual.
That's impressive as hell. How do you get Marvel's attention like that?
And
I know you've had a little bit of a relationship on and off, but enough for them to go,
just show up. We trust you. Drawings under the door.
I'm sure it happens before.
Well, yeah, they had us make music for the Black Panther comic series, not the movie, but the comics. And it kind of developed from there. And Method Man had put in a word for us, this group, Czarface, and they're kind of very comic-oriented, friendly to that genre, you know, because we have the Czarface figurehead, and it just made sense. So we developed a relationship with Marvel that way, and they've been tremendous to us.
Well, that's the golden goose, if you can get in with those guys. Now, has there been any talk about going to the next level, getting on a soundtrack for a Marvel movie?
Yeah, there has been... you know, we were maybe going to be on the Black Panther soundtrack, but Kendrick Lamar took that over, and that's good for him. He's perfect for the job. I just...
There's a sequel coming.
Yeah, I know. There's, you know, a couple balls in the air there, but it's just nothing definite. But that's definitely something I'm excited about, an opportunity to do.
He's going
to
be on the Bow and Arrow Man movie.
Bow and Arrow Man.
Yeah.
By the way, have you noticed that they tried to take Bow and Arrow Man in the preview for the new one and make him look like a badass?
Oh, Ronan.
Like,
Hawkeye. Yeah, but he's Ronan now.
Yeah, they correct their mistakes. Like, all right, he sucks. We know that. Let's turn him into a badass samurai. And I remember in the trailer...
Now, what is he? Instead of arrows, he's got a sword?
He's got a sword. So in the trailer, there's this moment where there's a big lead-up, like, who is this mystery man? And they sneak up and he turn around and it's Bow and Arrow. I'm like, oh, jeez. Talk about a horrible letdown.
When my son saw the trailer, he watched it and says, Ronan! And I was like, what? That's Hawkeye. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Ronan is Hawkeye. Or you guys call him Bow and Arrow guy.
The guy who sucks. He should be an Avenger.
The guy who needs improvement.
right.
All right, so you tour nationally, or internationally,
internationally.
I'm sorry. Internationally.
Oh, like Mr. Worldwide himself.
That's right. That's right.
And you toured.
You came from nothing, and you built yourself up, right.
So my friend. Now, you toured with the Wu-Tang Clan, correct?
Just Inspect the Deck.
I've
never toured with Wu. I've been to Wu shows with Wu, but I've never been on stage with Wu.
How tough, because, I mean, Fred was mentioning, like, you know, it's tough to get them all together, and I heard they just came to Lowell?
I was there.
Okay, how many of them showed up?
Everybody.
Really?
Everyone was there, yeah.
How was the show?
It was great. Okay. You know, and I had an opportunity to be on stage and stand with them, but I'm not that guy. I feel like you...
There's enough people up there.
Exactly, and when you're watching that show, when I'm watching a show like that, if it's a down moment during the show, I'm looking at the other people on the stage, I'm like, who are these clowns? And I didn't want to be
the clown.
Everyone's
there to see you, God.
You, God's a great guy.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I love you, God.
That's what I just said. I said, you, God's up there, and I'm like, get out of the way. Let him take the mic.
But yes, everyone was there. Backstage situation, a lot of different rooms. You know what I'm saying?
They don't talk to each other as much.
You know,
it's kind of more of a. I don't want to say it's a paycheck, but I mean, there's not the camaraderie that they used to have.
Oh, wow. It's a good paycheck. I know that much. They still do it, and they still perform the songs flawlessly. You know,
do they act like adults now?
Well, of course, yes, very, very, very much. You know, RZA.
That's got to be weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think I mean, they are adults. You know, they're older than all of us, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So I think everyone seems very sophisticated. I know it's like the Beastie Boys, you know? When the Beastie Boys came out, they were uncontrollable.
Yeah.
But now they're, you know,
did you
rest in peace, MCA, but everyone's very adult, grew up.
Did you hear that, you might know this, that on the last Beastie Boys record, they had, like, they listed the samples, and they were all fake. Like samples, and they created like album covers, and they did all this stuff that no one paid attention to. So they wasted like a month of their time creating this alternate sample universe that no one ever paid attention
to. Well, that's a genius move, I think. But I mean, you have to have somebody to pay attention to it.
Yeah,
you know.
All right. So the new record is called what?
Czarface meets Ghostface, which is a sequel to Czarface meets Metalface,
and that comes out today.
It's out today. Newbury Comics, go grab it, or iTunes.
Okay, so if people want the physical product, and they've shut down the Newbury Comics in Newton.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh. Very,
I didn't know there was a Newbury Comics in Newton.
I didn't either.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? Maybe you guys can make a couple more shekels and come on there. Make your way over to the
They don't allow us
town.
In. That's a problem.
Well, you're in Natick where they allow anything.
That's true.
There's all the fast food starts right there when the property value goes down. All right, so you, where can I get, if I'm a Joe Schmo.
Yep.
And I do not leave the house. Where can one purchase the Czarface record?
If you stay at home.
Yes.
Yeah, iTunes or Apple Music or...
If I want a physical copy, is there a website?
Yeah. Newbury Comics. You can get it online.
Okay.
They have a special blue colorway.
Ah. Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, so yes. That's limited to Newbury stores, you know, in New England. I mean, worldwide, wherever Newbury Comics is, but... you know, the standard copy's black, but they have Newbury has an exclusive colorway.
When do you get a shoe? Because you said colorway.
Oh yeah, soon. We have we have clothes launching in Zumiez stores across the country this week.
And that's, wow.
You know,
okay. So what? So explain this. So how do I get the clothes?
You got to go. You can go to Zumiez.com. They'll be up this week. Or you can go into the Zumiez stores in the mall, and it's like walking into, you know, you might want to take your son with you, you know. So it's just,
what is it, like comic book stuff?
No, it's just skateboard stuff, you know.
Okay.
And you're looking for the Czarface collection? Is that what
yes.
it is?
Okay.
So you're not going to turn my son into some comic book nerd?
No. Listen, my son's a comic book nerd.
Yeah.
But guess what? He plays hoops, and we have a championship game tomorrow. I'm the coach. 2:30. I'm not going to reveal
what
the
league?
Location. Well, it's a. You know, fourth and fifth grader league.
Yeah, but what league?
It's not AAU or travel.
It's like the town league. Okay, what do I care about the championships from town league?
Because you called my son a nerd.
Well, you did. Is that even Metro West?
Yeah.
Oh, please, come on.
No,
you're playing kiddie. Listen. In the kiddie pool.
Wow. All right. We're bringing Milo in and we're bringing Xavier in. Next time, we're going to set up a hoop and we're going to see what's what.
Get the bankroll, boys, and I need odds. I need odds. Let's put some cash on this someday.
Esoteric's got a big kid. That kid's a big kid. I can imagine that he's dominant in the paint.
All right. I might be an unoriginal prick, but have you done a rap battle with Bird yet?
I have not.
Okay. It needs to happen right after the break.
Okay. We'll take a break.
Wait, what?
A rap battle with Bird.
I didn't know this was going to happen.
I didn't know either, but I think it has to happen.
All right. Listen, I'm going on vacation in 40 days. Why not? We're running late.
Versus Bird.
Nothing like putting him on the spot. It's like asking a comedian, come in and do your act.
Oh, come on. You tell me in 2 seconds he couldn't just come out here.
I will. You didn't ask Ice Cube to rap when he was here.
Well, listen, it's not about you, to be quite honest. It's all about what Bird's got.
But I told him that Big Daddy Kane should have been first on Burn Hollywood Burn. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Kane should set it off most times.
Okay, that's right. All right, we'll be right back.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bird, come in.
Come on, Bird.
I understand that you don't want to call me and wake me up because I'm a grown-ass man who's married. But, I mean, this is a bit for the radio. What do you think? You're going to come off dumb?
he does not want to do it, according to Dan. Listen, this isn't easy for anybody, all right, Bird?
All right. It's not. Bird, who we learned has a dominatrix girlfriend, who as soon as Bird moves out of his house, is going to want to take it to another level. We learned Bird is a submissive. And there are grand schemes that are going on trying to get Bird to... Did you have a conversation with your girl yesterday about all that stuff?
Yeah.
Would you?
It was fine.
But it opened up like a whole new dialogue for you guys.
Yeah, and she's like, I wish I told them I like to be dominated too. I'm like, well, you should have said something. I have to say it today.
Okay, so it's an even Steven thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I really don't want to rap. Please don't make me rap.
Yeah, you're going to rap.
You're gonna rap. Put your headphones in. Because we have a super cool rap bed, too. Straight from 7L.
All right,
so, I apologize in advance.
All right, 7L so, or Casio keyboard.
I don't even know how this works. Okay, so how is this going to work?
I was
going
to say we would have them battle, but that's stupid. I just want Esoteric to witness the amazing thing that's going to happen to the right of you.
I apologize.
All right, if it's good, we'll battle.
Okay. You're not going to battle. So maybe you could just give your honest feedback.
Your head's not even red.
I know. I'm good.
Because you just given in.
All right. I did.
So he's not going to try.
All right. Do you want to give him like a topic? Esoteric. Is there a
topic? Can I make fun of people who mumble rap? Because I hate that.
Sure. You can make fun of people who mumble rap. Are you ready?
Okay,
are you ready for your music bed?
Stick it to these kids.
Stick to these whippersnappers. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, go on. This is an awful beat. Did you make this? No. Okay, no. I'm sad. I didn't want to insult you.
Hang on. We're starting things off.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
That's like the 69 boys.
That's right. It's my
they
boo.
Do whole fight?
This is the bed to my boo.
But my boo's not bad. That's the only song
is that
on
the Quad City
that
DJs?
Like.
Who's
no.
that?
My boo is Jermaine Dupri.
That night
Simone.
To think of you. That one?
Yeah. That's all right. A good song.
All right, Bird, you ready?
I think I had sex when that was on.
Oh, these mumble rappers are so bad. Me and my Twitch friends hate it so bad. Mumbling, bumbling, huh? That's it. I'm done. Come on.
Ah, man.
Hey, look at you. I don't know. Please make it stop. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done.
I think the beat is not inspiring.
No, it's not. It's awful.
All right. Give me a better beat.
Do we have another beat? Yeah, I mean, I guess I could try to find one.
Hickety biggity boo.
I don't know.
I took a pull on you. There you go.
You did what?
No, you said hickety biggity doo. I took a poo on you. I don't know. I'm just rhyming. Trying to rhyme.
All right.
Yeah, it's awful. I can't rhyme for crap.
No. Now he's going to read some rhymes off the phone here.
No, I'm not.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Nothing.
Checking what people are saying.
Are you checking what people are saying?
Yeah, I have like three conversations going, please rap, right? I'm like, I don't want to rap, guys. Stop.
All right, turn this
on. On text?
Yeah.
So you're just in the other room texting?
Not the whole time, but when you made that announcement, yeah, my phone blew up.
Dan said the whole time that you're in there texting with your friends.
No, not
what
the whole time.
What is there
to say? Just BS. That's all. Just a bunch of guys BSing. That's all it is.
Can you read some of the texts?
Hold on. After this. Go ahead.
I don't know if it's any good. But I just...
Scary spooky. Oh, boo. This is a scary beat.
You got to get on Twitch and watch his face. It might be terrible radio, but his face when he's doing it is just fantastic. Are those fake teeth?
No, they're real.
Okay.
I got nothing.
We'll go back and forth.
All right, cool.
So you set it off first.
Sitting with my man, Esoteric, to my left. And we're just chilling, hanging out. First time we ever met.
Yep. First time we ever met. Bird is from Everett. Am I right? Am I correct? When I get it in, flow. Tighter than the seats at Fenway. I'm not a clown. You a beginner like Jim Gray. Smack him up. It's getting hairy like Fred's back. You a rookie. Fred walking around looking like a Wookiee.
Yes.
I like know, the beat is just...
I got nothing.
Yeah.
The beat is nothing. That's not my genre, man.
All right, then here we go. How about this one? Maybe this one's a little bit better.
That's in the ICP bed.
After I get past the 5-second ad. Here we go. I try this. It's almost the exact same thing.
Put up Jay Dilla. Just put in Jay Dilla.
Jay Dilla? Okay.
And then anything off Donuts they can use.
Okay, here we go. Jay Dilla instrumentals mix number one. Yo, yo. Is this it? Here, I'll put it in the middle. Let's get... That's sexy. Ready, Bird?
Yep. Heading off to Disney with my fam. Can't wait to get down there and hang out with Goofy and the other crew. Jumping off my... What's the name of that mountain? I can't remember, but it's all good. Going on Universal too. Gonna be with the Hulk, smashing, bashing all the food. Can't wait for the Homer Simpson. I don't know, dude.
Ride.
Ride. Duff beer and the brew. Can't wait Everett to drink Pride. That.
Everett Pride. All right. That's it.
You know what? So sorry. Starface meets Ghostface is in stores now.
Thank you.
Go pick Stop. That up.
Starface meets Bird.
All right. So get it in stores now. Newbury Comics and everything else. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up in this style?
I don't know. Confusion.
All right. Well, we will sort through all of that. Everyone go buy the new Czarface record, and we'll be right back.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We are rocking rings on it.
Who needs the crown in the kingdom of the madness?
Yeah.
The greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion of all time. Unjustifiably in a position I'd rather not be, me, Gene O'Krillin. And I'm talking about Czarface, yeah. And I'm talking about 7L, and I'm talking about...
All right,
about
so that's Sean Silver from the radio station.
Yeah, so like a couple of months ago, Sean Silver was doing something. We were doing a wrestling bit, and he did an imitation of Macho Man Randy Savage, and Esoteric reached out and goes, dude, who's that guy who does the unbelievable imitation of the Macho Man, and I forward him his stuff, and now Sean Silver from the station is the very first thing you hear on this album. Like, it's the intro track, so there you go. All right, you can put it down now, but that's how the album starts. With someone from 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, the Alliance of American Football, a league that, for some weird reason, the Bankroll Boys will not gamble on. However, they will give you tips on Australian cricket, which I won a cool $100 because
right.
one of their inside tips is this
Money
morning.
In the bank.
Uh-huh. Well, there was a report that came out yesterday that the AAF reached out to two big names to see whether or not they would play in it. The first one being Tim Tebow. As a matter of fact, it was Bill Polian, who is now the CEO. What's his role of the AAF?
Is he not the commissioner, is he?
Yeah, he's one of the heads with it. Yeah. I don't know exactly what his title is, but he reached out to Tim Tebow personally, and Tim Tebow declined.
Tebow's going to be playing Major League Baseball at some point this year. I mean, that's a fool's errand to try to get him to play in that league.
The other person...
They pay like 5 cents.
Which, by the way, if you would have written down the two names that would have gotten people to tune in to the AAF just to see how they would do, number one and number two are exactly who I guess were reported. To. Tim Tebow would be probably number two, and number one would definitely be Colin Kaepernick. But according to the Associated Press, Kaepernick said he wanted $20 million or more to consider playing for the AAF. Now, there's a couple different schools of thought on this. First of all AAF players receive a three-year, $250,000 non-guaranteed contract, but they can earn more via bonuses. Touchdown bonuses, how far they get in the playoffs, things like that, just like regular NFL players. So for Colin Kaepernick, for you to say he's demanding that amount of money might seem ridiculous. However, what's that worth for ratings?
Not $20 million.
I don't think it's $20 million either, but it's $5
million. Yeah, but then why am I giving a guy $20 million to make $5
million? I think Colin Kaepernick is at the point where he's got to play somewhere for people to find out whether or not he's still good. It's been 3 years.
Well,
since he's played football.
He's not going to play football again.
He wants to.
He's a brand now. He doesn't have to play football.
He can do much more good being what he is. What do you call him? Call him whatever you want, a martyr, a pariah, whatever. He will be much more powerful. I don't know.
I mean, some people I do call him that, unfortunately. But the thing is about that is that he still wants to play football. He says he still wants to play football.
I got
to
be honest with you.
And at some point, it's not, you can't say
he's
that
never
the NFL.
Play football again.
Well, at some point, you can't yell at the NFL for not hiring Colin Kaepernick because I don't care who you are or how good you were. If you haven't played for 3 years,
you don't deserve to step back into an. If he really wants to play football, then he would have taken, you know, he wouldn't have made this insane demand on the AAF. He would have said, okay, I'll go play, I'll prove my worth, and I'll work my way back. Johnny Manziel, who's probably better than Kaepernick at this point, couldn't make it in the CFL. He's just looking for any kind of opportunity. I mean, I think Colin Kaepernick believes that he is much more valuable as a guy who is a target rather than a guy who's a football player. I agree with Fred. He can do much more good for his brand by staying out of the league and staying healthy and not embarrassing himself on the field where he will hurt his brand.
That's
and
fair.
And everyone in the NFL will point at him and go, see?
So do you believe he doesn't actually want to play football?
Yes. Correct.
Yes. Okay, but he's just saying that because it helps
make himself relevant.
The brand. That's fair. That's fair.
He wants to play, and he's not being allowed to play.
Otherwise, he would have taken an AAF job.
Not for that money. Not for $250,000. I don't care who you are.
$250,000 more than he's making now.
$250,000 for 3 years, which I think that means that you are.
If you
does
are
that mean it's
good,
split in three, or does that mean $250 a year?
He was the head of a Nike campaign.
If
he's
you are as good as you say you are, you go to that league, you light it up, and
it's
the NFL
not about
calls
football
you
anymore.
No, right. I understand. I'm finishing off Rich's point here. You go to the AAF, you light it up, and then you go, and the NFL is like, boy, were we wrong. You could sure play. He knows he's not good enough.
By the way, did you hear that story about the guy who owned the sporting goods store who, when Nike did the campaign with Colin Kaepernick, refused to sell any more Nike merchandise, and they just announced that they're out of business?
Yes, good idea.
He said not selling Nike would be like a store that sells milk that doesn't sell milk.
Well, by the way, brick-and-mortar stores, independent business is off the chart right now, so that's what you want to do.
Sure.
You're going to take the moral stand, and the people are just going to come flooding in. I mean, talk about bad business. I mean, brick and mortar. You gotta get the people in there, my friends.
Well, Matt Kuchar is getting a crap load of bad publicity this past week, where he ended up winning, was it $1.3 million in a tournament last November, the Mayakoba Golf Classic, when reports came out just last week that he had only paid his caddy $5,000.
This is a man who's worth well north of $100 million.
Okay, so...
$100 million.
Think of
what you would tip at a restaurant if you had $100 million. I'd just be laying out I had stacks
of hundreds.
Yeah, I had three drinks. Here's $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I just think about what little this means to him. $100 million.
I think the most fascinating thing about the story wasn't, the guy who got, because here's what Kuchar said. He did an interview with Golf Digest, and he tried to make himself look not as much like an a-hole, because he said, well, this guy isn't my normal caddy. And so when he filled in, I said, okay, here's the deal. I'll give you $1,000 if I miss the cut, $2,000 if I make the cut, $3,000 if we have a top 20 finish, and $4,000 if we're in the top 10. And the guy agreed to the terms, and he said the extra $1,000 that he gave him was kind of a, hey, thank you, this is a great week. He said those are the terms. He agreed to those terms, so he went with it. Now, if that's the case... listen, it sucks. That's a ridiculous amount of money. But the guy agreed to it, and he probably should have gotten...
Just give him money.
See,
just give him your money.
I'm with you. Okay, that's
like,
fine.
Okay, so you won the tournament. So say you don't make the cut, and you throw the guy a couple $1,000s. Fine. But you won the tournament, and you just added a stack onto your... I mean, this is... Look, I'm not a socialist.
And then I
don't want to get taxed any more money, but I will tell you this, is that... Money is that this is an inconsequential sum of money.
Okay,
just give the guy $20,000. Just give it to him.
But then I started reading about. All right, well, how much are these guys supposed to make? And apparently, it's customary to give
10%
of what you win to the caddy. F that 10% to the caddy.
Yeah,
every tournament.
Well, if you're like Tiger Woods, you owe everything to your caddy.
Who is Stevie Williams?
Yeah. Stevie Williams.
Well, listen, there's two things that he's into, and that's like kicking ass and racing cars. Isn't that what he said?
It's true
winning,
passion.
Winning and
he goes, listen, I carry a bag as my job, but I kick ass on the old go-kart.
Oh, now Stevie Williams was the worst.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, but doesn't that seem ridiculously high to you?
No, because I think the caddies do a lot more than is like... if you have a regular caddy that you're with them every week on the tour, I think that they do a lot more than carry your bag.
I caddy and I go racing, and when I go to the racetrack, the only place I'm interested in finishing is first.
Oh, yeah, Stevie Williams!
As opposed to everyone else who's interested in finishing last.
Stevie Williams, the renegade camper. Oh, you are such a bad, bad man. Well, John Cena, good friend of Esoteric, as a matter of fact. Didn't he write some of his raps?
He ghost wrote
some of his raps. That's right. When John Cena did the rapping thing. Well, Nickelodeon is reviving Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader with new host John Cena. And every time I see something like this, I think Gronk would be perfect in that role. Gronk is, John Cena obviously is someone who is, he seems like a very intelligent human being. He sounds like someone who's, a guy, I don't know if he's a college graduate, but he sure speaks that way. Gronk, did he go to Harvard? John Cena went to Harvard?
Well, if it's Foxworthy or it's nobody. I mean, that's like taking, That's like doing Kevin Can Wait without Kevin James.
They tried to get Engvall in there, but he said, here's your sign. And they said, nope, that's not going to do it.
Engvall said, what is my money?
Bill Engvall?
Yeah.
Dude, you know, he makes, like, those, like, country hit comedy tour guys made $1 zillion.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Larry the Cable Guy for a while was the highest paid comedian in Hollywood.
Probably. Get her done.
So you remember the story that happened a little while back involving Fortnite, where Alfonso Ribeiro, a.k.a. Carlton, from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, wanted to sue them because they used the Carlton dance as one of the victory dances when you win in Fortnite. Well, apparently the U.S. Copyright Office said, nope, you can't trademark your dance. Sorry, Fortnite has lawyers worth a bazillion dollars, Fortnite and you again. Are Carlton.
Fortnite wins again.
Fortnite wins. Don't go up against a multi-billion dollar video game that still, to this day, rakes in a ton of cash.
Yeah, they just print money. That's all they do.
They do. They absolutely do. I've still yet to play that game.
I can't understand it. And when my son tries to teach me, he just gets frustrated and grabs a remote, so it's pointless. He wants me to play, so like I'll let him play more.
Did you hear about the new game that Nintendo Switch just announced? Like, they have this thing called, I was just telling John about this online, off the air. There's this thing called Nintendo Switch Online in which you pay, like, I think it's $15 a year, and you have access to all these old school, like, NES and Super Nintendo games. However, they just introduced something which is, I have a feeling, is going to be my new obsession. It's called Tetris 99. And what you do is you go online on your Switch, and it's you right in the middle playing Tetris, and all around your screen are 99 different players from all around the world. And when the timer starts, you slowly start seeing all of the people on the screen disappearing once they're out of it, and you compete to be the last person standing and still playing Tetris out of the 99 people who are competing, which I have a weird feeling. I played it once, and I was like number 40. I thought I was kicking everyone's ass. I looked up, and there were 40 people left.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.